knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan?
Jordan.
Have you ever been trapped in a snowstorm?
Yeah, actually, I have a couple times.
Yeah, like trapped outside, not like trapped in your apartment by a lot of storm. No,
I've been
never?
Snowed in before a couple
You've been
times
snowed
in Columbia.
Yeah.
And here, I think. Yeah, I mean, like snowpocalypse.
Right. I recall.
I was in Chicago for that.
Right. We were all there for snowpocalypse.
There was one time there was a really terrible blizzard a number of years back, and I was like real fucking the dumps. Mm. I wanted to get out of the house, and my good buddy, Nate Burrows.
Yes.
He worked at a bar called, I believe it was Duke's.
Uh-huh.
Was the bar that he was working at the time. And, it's like everyone's snowed in. He's at the bar. All of the buddies are going over there to just drink.
Hell yeah.
You get snowed in at a bar. It's
That's
perfect.
That's the best place to be snowed in.
I feel like it was the day of the Super Bowl, too.
Sure.
I think it might be mixing up some memories. But
right,
anyway,
right.
He's like, come on, come to the bar. It'll be great. And so I'm like, yeah, that's it. I'll get stuck there.
Yeah.
That's better than being stuck
That'll
in my
solve
stupid
problems.
Apartment. And so I took like 5 steps outside, and I'm like, no fucking way. I made it like, nah. I just went back inside, and I don't know, watched YouTube or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Watched Alex Jones clips.
No, it was pre that. But I don't know. I don't mind the idea of getting snowed in. You're mentioning this because we're having our first real snow of the season here in the Chicagoland area.
Indeed we are. The kind
That's
where the...
It's pretty gorgeous out.
It know? Is, it is. The leaves haven't fallen off, though, so all the trees that were like 20 feet tall are now 5 feet tall.
There's a nice view out my window, just a tree covered in snow. It's very idyllic.
It is.
Looks like a tea box, of tea bags, just some sort of celestial seasonings-ass tableau out the window.
It looks to me a little bit like there should be teenagers throwing snowballs out there before they go fight in World War I.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of old-timey snow.
Yeah. I met up with a friend last night for a drink, and I got an Uber because I was running late.
Yeah.
Lyft, excuse me.
Yeah.
And the guy was talking about...
Dare not speak its name.
The guy was telling me about how, like, it's going to snow tomorrow, and I realize I'm so out of touch with, like, weather and
the
world.
What are these millennials talking about weather with?
I hadn't heard that that was happening, and
yeah.
I realized, like, almost immediately, like, oh, yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
I'm just like... Yeah, it could snow an inch, it could snow a foot. I don't give a shit.
It does not affect me at all.
I have some food in my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very strange. Very strange. Anyway, I don't have to be concerned about snow that much given my normal lifestyle now, but I do have to be concerned about Alex Jones.
Yeah, and I guess I have to be concerned about both.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we got an interesting glimpse looking into the present day of Alex Jones.
Let's do it.
Because we have been talking about time travelers
right,
in the past.
Right.
Time traveling ourselves this week.
Indeed.
And we've not checked in on what Alex's dumbass is up to.
I assume he's protecting Deadspin writers. That's all he's doing, right?
Free speech, baby.
Yeah, free speech. That's what it's about.
Curiously absent from
his
coverage. Doesn't seem to care at all. we're going over October 30th, 2019. I wanted to cover a wider span of time, but it's just not possible given some of the things. I'll talk about that a little bit here in a moment. But before we get to that, got to take a moment, Jordan, to say thank you to some people who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, Jim, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jim.
Next, Chris B, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much, Chris B.
Hey, join the conspiracy.
Next, Chris W. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Chris W.
This conspiracy of Chris's is getting ridiculous.
Out of control.
We are full up.
How
on
many Chris's are there?
There are plenty, and they're all loving the show.
No,
we appreciate it, Chris.
Yes.
All of you, Chris.
All the Chris's.
Next, Bart. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Bart.
Next, Kelly with an I, K-E-L-L-I.
Dot that I with a heart, baby.
Thank you so much, Kelly. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Kelly.
Next, William. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, William.
Billy.
Hey, you don't know if he's a Billy.
Next, Anthony. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Anthony.
Fingers crossed, it's Scaramucci.
No, it's not Scaramucci.
We said some positive things about him.
In private, he goes by Tony. That's
And finally, Stanley. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Stanley.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoy this show, I'd like to support the show and what these guys do, you can support it by going to our website, knowledgefight.com. There's a button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
We would love it.
So, Jordan, like I said, we're doing the 30th here today. And that's Wednesday of this week. So on the 29th, Alex is going on about just trying to, like, basically get a satanic panic going.
Sure.
And I thought about covering that, and I looked into a lot of that stuff. And what I realized is that we've talked about a lot of that already.
Yeah.
It's very the same thing that we've talked about over and over and over and over again. And so I as much as I think it's important to keep an eye on that stuff, the way that he's... increasingly and consistently calling his enemies devils and demons.
Right.
Harkening back to the same things that happened in the early to mid-80s with, like, the McMartin's preschool case and, you know, these things that should have learned our lesson about in
which
the past.
Which we never, ever, ever, ever will.
We have not.
Ever.
But his rhetoric and all this stuff is very the same. I think it's important to make a note of it, that this is a lot of the stuff he's doing. But I don't know how important it is to really dwell in it repeatedly.
I think I can sum it up usually with just, hey, you know those marginalized groups? Not only should they remain marginalized, but it's their fault they're marginalized, and we should marginalize them further.
And they're Satan.
Yes, exactly.
So that's kind of what's going on on the 29th, and I'm keeping an eye on it. And as it develops, if there's a change and an escalation that I see, I still think it's worthwhile to point out. But I believe that the 30th is actually far more relevant to trends that we are seeing in Alex's show that are much scarier.
Okay.
And so what we get over the course of this episode is some pretty, pretty fucked up white nationalism.
Sure.
Which is not too surprising.
It's just us in the room now, guys. It's just you and us. Yeah.
Yeah. You see some things happening on this episode that I think are... exactly what you'd predict would happen on Alex's show. Exactly the direction he's been going in for a while, but you still really don't like to see it happening.
Yeah.
So we're going to start here in this first clip. And Alex is talking about, he's addressing these new clips that have come out of Barack Obama saying that, hey, you know, wokeness isn't advocacy.
Oh,
it's
boy,
not
here
activism.
We go. Here we go.
No.
Yeah.
He barely talks about that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Never mind. You're right. I should have assumed that it would be completely different.
Because there's also a clip of Michelle Obama that's come out that he can attack.
Okay, there we go. Yeah,
which would much rather do.
Yeah, always attack a black woman over anyone else. That is the rule of the right.
So here is the first clip about that, talking about these clips from the Obamas.
And they're also telling you that we're on the verge of a global race war because white people are inherently evil and bad, but everyone's trying to get into countries founded and that were run by the dreaded white people. Very interesting. In fact, here's Obama telling us that wokeness is not activism, and then maybe he hasn't heard what his wife's out doing, spewing some of the biggest black KKK stuff you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama
talking about families being the same, whether they're immigrants or...
Right.
That's the
very KKK language
black
right there.
KKK shit.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is he talking about the one where she's like, white people moved away from black people?
Yeah.
Because that was literally like... white people moved away from black people.
Right.
And then they made it against the law to move closer to them.
Studies have been done about self-segregation and the phenomenon that happens. And it's not unique to white people.
No, absolutely.
But on a macro scale, in terms of the way that society and cities have readjusted, a lot of it is white flight.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, saying that the countries are founded by white people is a little disingenuous.
Oh?
Well, because white always has been an exclusionary label.
Yeah.
The idea of whiteness has always been used to keep people out. And the ways that that label was applied in, let's say, the late 1700s is certainly different than it is today.
Yeah.
Concepts of whiteness have evolved as they are more or less useful to the people wielding those ideas.
Right, 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 right.
So it's kind of silly to say that.
Well,
these countries were founded by white people.
Were they founded by Protestant white people or Catholic white people? Because they used to kill each other all the time. Were they founded by the Irish or were they founded by the Italians? Because they used to kill each other all the time.
They certainly weren't considered white.
Exactly.
Later periods of America's history.
No, it seems like the white is a term that includes as the exclusionary group changes.
Yeah, and whatever you need it to be, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's always a little bit disingenuous to have these, like, everyone wants to get into these countries founded by white people. It's like, all right, whatever. Anyway, he's mad at Michelle Obama because she's black KKK.
Sure, sure, sure.
We're
sure.
No different than the immigrant families that are moving in, the families in Pilsen, the families that are coming from other places to try to do better. But because we can so easily wash over who we really were because of the color of our skin, you know, because of the texture of our hair, you know, that's what divides countries.
Artificially as well.
Artificial things that don't...
Oh, artificial borders divide countries. No, you're bringing leftists in from all over the world with no skills and treating them to hate America and then putting them on welfare to control them. That's the truth, Michelle. That's what you're pushing, is a anti-white, anti-American agenda. And everybody knows what you're up to, you evil witch. Unbelievable fraud.
Anti-white, anti-American agenda.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting phrase.
No, I don't see what you're... I don't see any way that those two being so close together would point to any larger issue, Dan.
It's very overt.
I can't understand what you're talking
very
about.
Very overt. And what you responded to is very clear, too. This, like, clear straw manning of what she's saying.
Yeah.
Changing it into a, borders are...
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So, you see this in the beginning of the episode, and it's...
Yeah, that's how we open.
Yeah. As I was listening to this, I was like, oh, dear God, what is going to happen on this episode? This is pretty fucked up.
And it's not even like it's anti-American, anti-white, because that means a whole different set of...
Right.
That means very similar things. But the fact that it's anti-white, then, anti-American, is very much like... White first. That's what's important. And then naturally it's anti-American after that.
Sure.
But, yeah.
But the thing is that, like, Michelle, she knows what she's doing.
Michelle Obama knows what she's doing. These are some evil, 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 evil people. But if you go back to John D. Rockefeller the First, you go back to Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, their letters, the Colgate family and others, are public. In major universities, just type in Margaret Sanger's letters. And she was given billions of dollars, billions back then. That'd be hundreds of billions today.
So it's not true.
To buy off all the black leaders in the black colleges that Christians had set up. They hijacked them. And man, what you see that's been done to the black people is the plan for everybody. So you can look at the mess the black community's in and be threatened by it and be angry at it and hear the black folks saying racist things to you because they're brainwashed and get mad at them. But how about we're smart enough to really know the full game plan and not buy into this race war crap? How about we do that? Because the whole thing is a setup.
You could easily hear this very similar rhetoric being used as anti-civil rights era rhetoric. These black people who want to be able to eat at the same counter as me and as whites. It's,
they're just riling up. They don't know. We're above that kind of whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you and I, the whites, we're above that. We're not going to get down in the dirty with all the jazz music.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the Margaret Sanger shit in the past a number of times. It's all just horse shit. But
billions of dollars to
Margaret. Hundreds of billions of dollars.
Margaret Sanger with hundreds of billions of dollars.
But they needed to pay her to come in and co-opt all this stuff with money because the good Christian whites...
They would not be corruptible like
that. They'd set up these things to help empower people, but they are all susceptible to billions of dollars of payoff
by
the evil... genocidal
what are you
Margaret
gonna do?
Sanger.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, Alex starts rambling some more about how, like, him and his buddies, like, they have this supernatural connection with each other, right? And
what?
That's what the enemy is jealous of.
Okay.
But once you get the big agenda, everybody's on the same level because you're seeing the same thing. People say, how does Trump say the same thing you say like an hour later? And how, I mean, because I've had the New York Times call up and they've gone, you tweeted this 5 minutes for a speech. And then he said exactly what you said he'd say during the speech. And I said, we're simpatico. And that globalist looked at me and he just shook his head because they know how stuff works. And they're mad that we've got a sixth sense way more powerful than them. Because when you serve evil, you lose the gifts God's given you. You get Satan's little twisted gifts, but you lose the literal superpowers that God's given us.
So these superpowers are literal.
That's right.
Good to know.
Which ones?
Super sixth sense.
Super sixth sense.
Yep.
All right. So I'll pass on that. I'm willingly giving that one up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't even,
no.
I'm not even going to join Satan. I'm just going to let that one go.
Okay.
What next? What am I missing out on?
Magnesis.
Because I don't give a shit if I can tell you what Trump is going to say 5 minutes before he says it.
Yeah, that's a bad
power.
I don't
need a sixth sense for that shit.
No.
I would rather Bruce Willis be dead.
Ah, I preemptively know dumb things.
Yeah, exactly.
Woohoo.
Oh, I know what a white racist is going to say.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if it was telekinesis or flying, I'd take it.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll believe in any god that lets me fly.
But predicting this sort of bullshit, nah, not great.
Not worth it.
But it's interesting because Alex does believe it's a superpower.
Right.
He's talking about that in terms of, like, once you know the big agenda.
Yeah.
And that's a continuation of his thoughts about Margaret Sanger and this eugenics plan that
right.
the globalists have.
Of course.
And once you see all that, you see it all.
Yeah.
Then you get superpowers that God gives you.
Right. Giving you the ability to talk about demographic replacement slightly before another guy does.
Great superpowers.
Yeah.
So, he then is like, you know, like, we have these superpowers. And then Satan gives, like, false superpowers.
Oh, like
but,
what?
But everybody has gifts, all right?
Ah, oh, man, now, I wish I was high for this.
Now, this is really interesting. Because
yeah.
I would argue that the things that he's talking about here, none of them are gifts.
Okay.
I'll explain on the other side.
The gout.
And by the way, we're all created equal in God's eyes. I agree with the Declaration of Independence.
Uh-oh.
But we're not all equal in our skills and what gifts we were given. I don't have the gift of being a long-distance runner. But I do have the gift of fortitude and focus. And the gift that nobody's ever knocked me out, including getting hit in the head with a lead pipe, axe handles, you name it. So we've all got different gifts, ladies and gentlemen.
I do not believe that those are gifts. Also, file that under Alex's head trauma.
I have the gift of a very thick skull. Or just a... such a fucking what familiarity with head trauma that it doesn't even, it bounces off me now.
I have been acclimated to head abuse.
My brain is even smaller than it was before.
Even if you believe what he's saying are true, like stories. I've been hit with a lead pipe and
right,
I get knocked
right,
out.
Right.
That's not a gift.
It's not a gift.
Also, long distance running isn't necessarily a gift either. That's something you work on. That's
right.
A practice.
Right.
I could get much better at long distance running than I am right now if I applied myself towards it.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a gift. Maybe some people are just like by their physical, like we all have different bodies that we're born in.
Yeah.
And some are maybe more conducive towards running than others.
Right.
But
Michael Phelps clearly has some sort of proportions that make him swim good.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
But he wouldn't swim as well as he does now if he hadn't trained.
Ah, no. He had the gift of swimming, Dad.
Whatever. It's a discounting of the process.
Yeah.
And just pretending it's a gift. Now, the other thing that I would say about this is Alex does not have fortitude, nor does he have focus.
Uh-uh.
Both of those.
Saying focus is infuriating.
Yeah. I would say that those are maybe his weak suits.
Yeah. The fact that he even said focus.
Reading's a weak suit. But that requires focus.
I don't even allow reading on the list.
Sure.
that's too far away.
I would also say that those are practiced behaviors too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, focus is something you can get better at if you apply yourself. Fortitude.
You can even take drugs for it.
Fortitude's another thing. Like having the strength of conviction and will is something that you can get better at by making brave decisions.
I think he's only talking about fortitude in the sense that he can take a blow. Mm-hmm. I think that's mainly his idea of fortitude.
I mean, it might be based on where he goes with it.
Yeah.
I mean, lead pipes and axe handles hitting him in the head.
Yeah.
Yikes.
He has to have a really good saving throw to make it through that without getting a concussion.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. So this attack on Michelle Obama is like unnecessary and stupid.
Yeah.
And it's being couched in a lot of like very white identity ways.
Sure.
It is absolutely a reflection of some sort of an insecurity that he feels mm-hmm. about this very powerful, popular black woman speaking the way that she is in public.
Yeah, when she talks, he might as well just screech strong black woman and then hide in the fucking corner or whatever.
There is something to that. You can hear that and feel it from his response. And because he's very stupid and he lacks fortitude and he lacks focus.
Right.
And he has been hit in the head with a lead pipe.
A lot.
The only way he can really experience this and move forward is to make personal bigoted attacks.
Yeah, there we go.
On Michelle.
We're going to talk about the real rabbit hole next segment and play some of these clips from Kanye and then that wicked devil, Michelle Obama.
Oh, no.
That linebacker of a wife. She's got that big roll of silver dollars in her pants. We're going to be talking about Mrs. Wokey Woke.
So this is going to descend a little bit into him implying that Michelle Obama is secretly a man,
which is something
that he's been wishy-washy about over the years, covering it, talking about it a bunch, and then being like, hey, we're just joking.
We're just joking.
Just
no
joking around,
deal.
And then doing serious special reports about it.
I saw her with she's a man.
Yeah. So it's disgraceful, it's disgusting, and very dumb.
Yeah.
And we'll see a little bit more of it as this episode goes along, but Alex has to reveal a big special report that he has made.
Oh, no.
Addressing,
don't. No.
Finally.
No. No accents. No. Okay.
There is that. But I told you already.
God damn it.
I'm not covering that anymore.
Okay.
It's still happening. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Don't worry about
it.
Okay. There's a new special report. Finally. Finally.
Yes.
Addressing the age-old question about flat Earth.
Now, I want to be completely clear. I do not believe the Earth is flat. But because the people have been lied to so much, and they know they've been lied to now, most people don't know what's true. And they've done internal polls and national surveys. Hell, I spent $20,000 just a few months ago doing one.
What?
For some legal issues to find out exactly what was going on. That's what we thought.
What?
And about 40% of people now officially question whether the Earth's flat or something else.
I don't know if he's saying you spent $20,000 on a flat Earth poll, or if
that?
It's a different poll, like a Sandy Hook related public opinion poll.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's
for
talking
some legal
about.
Issues, and it's what he thought they were.
But the legal issues leads me to believe that it has to be related.
It
to
has
Sandy
to be
Hook.
Related to Sandy Hook, but you can't do a poll about legal issues. The law isn't a popular opinion.
But it could help you. It could help guide your how you would behave in the press. Court of public opinion.
That's fair. That's fair.
It could lead you to see all right, what is okay for me to say?
Yeah.
What's going to alienate literally everybody?
How could
it would be smart
I...
for him to do some focus testing.
Right. Or get any semblance of focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the way he's talking there leads you to believe that he did a fucking survey about flat Earth.
Yeah.
Which I find hilarious.
That is
probably not true, but based on his lack of focus and inability to convey information, it makes
entirely
you
entirely possible
that that's what he's saying. Anyway, I don't really care about this stupid flat Earth report. It's just basically about the idea that the government's lied so much that it's rational to question whether the Earth is flat.
Sure.
And I would say the opposite is probably true. Enough people have been fed conspiracy bullshit for so long.
Yeah. That the government's lied, man.
Okay. I know that the government does lie, and having a healthy amount of skepticism is a healthy impulse, but it's a healthy distrust as opposed to an unhealthy distrust, which is what we see manifested over the years on Alex's show.
Right. I don't understand in what possible sense the government is at fault for, or whatever the government does has anything to do with whether or not the Earth is flat.
I think you need to look into flat Earth theories a little bit. You'd understand.
What? That's not...
I think you need to educate yourself.
I don't even need a scientist to tell me that the Earth isn't flat.
You're revealing that you don't know shit.
If you look over there, stuff goes down over the horizon.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Off the edge of the
world. No, it doesn't go off the edge. It's slowly... God damn it.
I don't really care about this, and it's not a subject I'm really well versed in, so I don't really even want to pretend to argue for the other side of it. But I do believe that the people who believe that the Earth is flat do think that the government is invested in making you think that it's round.
Yeah, I can see that.
For some reason.
Sure.
So that's the part of it the government lot. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. I don't need it.
Anyway, I think Alex is just trying to reach out to other...
Flat earthers.
Yeah. So, cool. Good luck.
I wonder if we can turn those into white nationalists.
Easily.
Yes.
So, in this next clip, Alex addresses the elephant in the room, the big issue, and that is Kanye West's got this new album.
Yes. Yeah. I've been waiting to really talk Kanye West on this show. I assume we're going to get into the music. We're going to get into some production elements.
No.
He's going to talk about the opening track being an accelerated version of
it. Uh-uh.
No, he's not?
Alex has gone back and forth on the subject of Kanye West, depending on how insane he's behaving at the time.
I know.
When he's talking about slavery being a choice, Alex is like,
love him.
This guy makes some great points.
Brilliant. Kanye is a genius.
When he sort of walks things back and doesn't agree to go on Alex's show.
He's in the black KKK.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's just controlled opposition.
Yep.
But now Alex has finally made a determination.
Sure.
And it's that Kanye West is for real.
Okay.
Folks asked me, they said, is Kanye West, you know, when he says, yeah, I'm going to go Alex Jones level on you. What is he talking about? Well, I said Friday, if he comes out against the genocide of black people, particularly by Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, and the Rockefeller Foundation, that spent billions of dollars in 1920s, 30s, 40s numbers, that'd be hundreds of billions a day, to target black people for extermination. In many jurisdictions, up to 70% of blacks are never born. The most dangerous place for a black person on earth is in the womb. And there's this targeting going on, and it's an admitted targeting. And Hillary Clinton said black men are predators. They need to be in prison. They're like dogs. Bring them to heel. These are quotes. And I told T.I. on his podcast to millions and others, hey, quit telling me about Trump and racism all day and that dog whistle to sit there and, you know, demonize and create division when it's the Democratic Party that founded the KKK. And so I said, if Kanye's really woke, he'll come out and talk about that. Well, the next day he did. So let's play where he talks about Alex Jones level, and the next day he talked about now it's going viral today. Both these clips are going viral today. Got almost no attention over the weekend. Now it's all over the news. So here's the two clips.
So Kanye has come out anti-abortion, and Alex has decided that this is proof that he is completely for real. He's legit. Now I would
or Kanye mentioned Alex Jones, and so we're going to talk about Kanye all day, and I love him so much.
Well, now it's interesting that you say that. Because Alex is saying that Kanye is saying he's going to go Alex Jones level.
Yeah.
Here's the actual clip.
Man, come on, man. I ain't finna go Alex Jones level on y'all, man. Come on, man. What y'all want? Like, wake up. Wake up, Mr. West. Wake up, culture. Wake up. Everybody think they so woke, but they following the rules of what woke's supposed to be. We brainwashed out here, bro. Come on, man. This is a free man talking. Democrats had us voting Democrats for food stamps for years, bro. What is you talking about? Guns in the 80s, taking the fathers out the home, Plan B, lowering our votes, making us abort our children. God should not kill.
And again, that was the same shoot, but they doled it out over the next few days. They went into even more of it and Planned Parenthood and the purposeful targeting.
What?
That means he really is off the plantation, off the reservation. So am I.
Okay, good for you. Whoo. So you'll hear at the beginning of that clip, he explicitly says, I'm not going Alex Jones level. So even Kanye, at the state that he's in now, recognizes that Alex Jones is crazy.
Yeah. I'm not going to go that wild. Yeah. I am not a lunatic like Alex Jones. I am specifically saying Alex Jones is fucking crazy.
I'm using this person as an example of what I am not doing while people accuse me of having a bit of a episode.
Then again, he is doing it, so.
He is
going Alex Jones in many a sense.
It's debatable exactly what going Alex Jones level means.
It's a good question.
And what he means by it.
I don't know. I think his hair turns gold and his aura goes from red to light blue.
I would suggest that I'm not particularly interested in what's going on with Kanye West.
Sure.
I have not listened to that new album.
It's pretty good.
Great.
It's fine. There aren't a lot of opinions to have.
I would say that I find some of the surrounding elements of this album to be contradictory.
Uh-huh.
Some of the consumerist elements of this. I find it difficult to find sincerity in someone making an album called Jesus is King, and their last album was called Yeezus. And one of the songs was, I am God. I am a God.
I am a God.
Right.
Thank you very much. Hold on one moment there.
And just sort of, I don't know. And maybe that's just my hang up, but I find it to be like, I don't even want to dwell in this.
No.
I don't care.
Absolutely. There's nothing to care about.
Yeah.
There are zero reviews of Jesus is King that I have read that have not been like, the music, here's the review of the music. It's pretty good. Kanye's a genius. And then it's been 1,000 words on how it doesn't change my opinion of Kanye's personal or public appearance. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, great. Still some good tracks. I don't know what you want.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it is. On one level, I guess you could look at it as like, what is the brashest artistic move you could make?
Yeah.
And it's to become kind of fundamentalist.
Aggressively fundamentalist. Yeah, I mean, not even that.
Within the realm of pop culture, that is kind of something that puts you in a corner.
I mean, he's not going aggressively fundamentalist so much as he's going like a prosperity gospel. Like, what's her face?
It does feel that way.
Paula White came. Yeah. That's what the album is. The album is like if Paula White came had a really, really good producer and was not married to a shitty guitarist. Like, that's what it is.
I think he's a keyboardist.
Whatever.
He's in fucking Journey, asshole.
Whatever.
He's not shitty. I don't know. I don't particularly care. But it's awesome that Alex is like, all right, maybe I can get in on this. He said Alex Jones. Now, granted, it was I'm not going Alex Jones. But
right. It's
good enough. I can weave my way into it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he doesn't spend too much time on that. But I'm certain he's trying to get him on the show. And I don't think it's going to work.
Probably not.
But Alex needs to get back to Michelle Obama.
Sure.
He takes a lot of time insulting her. And so he plays this short clip talking about our families are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Just these superficial differences of skin color and hair texture.
Right.
It's all nonsense as a means of division. And so Alex plays that clip again and then just starts mocking her.
Now, because of the texture of our hair, you know.
Oh, you poor baby. Everybody wants to be so mean to you. But, oh, you love that Planned Parenthood killing tens of millions of black people. Oh, what a sick witch. I'm not kissing your ass anymore. By the way, Joan Rivers said you were a tranny. I didn't say that. I said it. Let's play Joan Rivers when we come back. And I don't think she is. I think to mess with us, she wears a big old roll of silver dollars in her pants, flopping around and rolling around like some kind of big old giant king cobra.
That's,
I mean,
it's a bit of a family show that we're listening to.
I don't even know how to engage with that. That's too far. That's too racist, too transphobic. It's just too everything. It's just beyond anything that you can engage with. You're just like, you're crazy, man. Fine, fucking fine.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the nonsense you're going to throw out.
Yep. So, yeah, there's a absurd and disgusting preoccupation that Alex has about this Michelle is a man kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason I think that there's any value in playing this is because when he pressed to the wall and when he needs to make like criticisms of people like Michelle, it does seem like this is the direction he errs in.
Uh-huh.
Things that he ends up eventually having to play off as like, we're just joking around. That's where his mind goes because he's a cruel bigot.
Yeah.
So when he's talking about Michelle, one of the criticisms that he rises with her is about, like, you don't say anything about the rest of the world's problems.
Sure.
And I find this to be an interesting critique, primarily because it's super white identity-based.
No.
And secondarily because it's absolutely not true.
And my only point is that Michelle wants you to think white people are inherently bad, when the truth is modern civilization and the end of slavery is white people's doing.
Whew.
Because we recognize it was wrong. We have the moral authority. If you want to talk about woke, who's got authority? Black people are still selling each other in seven nations in Africa. Muslims are still selling humans in four nations in Africa. And you don't say a damn word, you evil racist witch. Here is this monster selling poison like a cobra biting you with evil. Here is this witch for the Rockefellers and the big money and the KKK-run Democrats. Here she is!
Jesus, he is angry.
And that is because she said that immigrants are like us.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, gotcha.
And what he's doing here, I can be very comfortable in saying that he's expressing overt white supremacy.
Oh, yeah.
The first reason I can say that is this presentation that white people have a moral superiority because they ended slavery in the United States is being pushed by Alex. This kind of mentality absolutely whitewashes the hard work and sacrifices of people who are in the abolitionist movement.
Nope, white people on their own, with no other inspiration.
Many abolitionists who, they gave their lives to that fight. And this, in presenting the ending of slavery, it just being white people realizing it was wrong and deciding no more of that is minimizing
no,
of
it
the
was
actual
Alex's,
struggle.
It was Alex's ancestors who all turned and looked at each other and they were like, guys, we got to not do this whole slavery thing. And nobody told us. We just learned on our own.
This also seeks to minimize the brutal racist systems that were brought in to replace slavery after it was technically abolished. Slavery under other names, like convict leasing programs, continued for quite a while. I mean, it's not like prison labor isn't still being used exploitatively all over the place today. While these programs aren't running strictly on racial lines, they are extensions of a legal system that disproportionately affects non-white Americans. And to pretend otherwise is bad.
And
wrong.
There are inmates being used to fight fires right now for $2 an hour.
We're reminded of that every time there's a fire.
Yeah.
And then nothing ever is done.
Yep. Ever. Hooray!
Alex seems to think that just because slavery ended in the United States, white people did their part and everyone should just shut up about this race stuff. Leaving aside for a minute that Alex fucking hates Abraham Lincoln and that Alex's family literally fought on the side of the Confederacy during the Civil War, who would have absolutely continued slavery if they'd gotten their way, leave all that stuff aside.
They fought on the side of the Confederacy that wanted to end slavery. You forget that that side of the Confederacy was there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Even leaving all that aside, what Alex is saying is incredibly stupid and lacks any kind of nuanced understanding of history or the present. It also seems like one of the issues that Alex has here is that Michelle Obama dares to speak about race issues in the United States, but she won't talk about slavery-related issues in African countries. Does Alex not remember how in May 2014 Michelle was very active in the Bring Back Our Girls campaign? Does he not realize that that was about 300 young girls in Nigeria who were kidnapped, presumably to be trafficked? I understand that Alex only operates on sound bites he gets from white identity-leaning right-wing publications, so he can't possibly be expected to actually know the work that someone like Michelle Obama has done, but he really should do his research before launching off on completely unhinged racist outbursts like that.
I've never seen any Muslim leaders condemn Muslim terror. Nobody does it, Dan.
Right. Like, maybe a good place for Alex to start would be the July 2014 speech Michelle Obama gave at the summit of the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders. From that speech, quote, when girls in some places are still being married off as children, sometimes they even before they even reach puberty, when female genital mutilation still continues in some countries, when human trafficking, rape, and domestic abuse are still too common, and perpetrators are often facing no consequences for their crimes, then we still have some serious work to do in Africa and across the globe. And while I have great respect for cultural differences, I think we can all agree that practices like genital cutting, forced child marriage, domestic violence are not legitimate cultural practices. They are serious human rights violations and have no place in any country on this earth. Alex is creating a fictional version of Michelle Obama who turns a blind eye to human rights issues and slavery in African countries because she's too busy trying to demonize the white people here in America. But that doesn't match reality at all. Put simply, he's being racist as shit.
Yep. It's
this isn't a valid criticism. Now, you could make a criticism that she maybe could do more.
Yeah.
If you want to have that conversation, fine. But pretending that she doesn't do anything or... why'd you talk about that, witch?
Yeah.
That's not true. And the reason you think it's not true is because you are very angry about your white identity being punctured. And what she does is in some way cast the same eye that she does to the African countries in this speech and throughout her career upon you and your buddies. And you fucking can't handle it.
Yeah. It does seem like... The only people that I hear talk about how somebody is saying that white people are inherently bad are these people.
They're the only people who bring it up as a straw man about what other people, the conversations that other people are having.
And not least of which, it does have some of that like weird sense of guilt trying to escape out where it's like, maybe you guys are the only people who think white people are inherently bad.
Well, I would say
because I think they kind of do, don't they? And based on all of these arguments that begin with, see, they're saying white people are inherently bad, and then goes on a litany of all the things that white people have done, and they're like, oh, just because we did this doesn't mean that we didn't end slavery, asshole. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to comment on that because I actually don't know what I think.
Yeah.
About what they think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I can't imagine what their internal perceptions are. Because also, it could be very easily explainable as like, well, there are criticisms coming our way that I'd rather not address or discuss in any meaningful way, so let's create a false version of the argument to yell about.
For sure.
That makes sense just as much as them having a deep-seated feeling that they're evil.
Well, whatever. I mean, he is his ancestor, so he must know that his ancestors probably owned slaves.
Yeah.
So he probably has some guilt towards that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
So not only is Alex being a completely disgusting monster regarding race issues, he is also pretty deep in his anti-trans stuff, anti-LGBTQ stuff,
sure.
Which is always, at least in the present day, expressed pretty solidly through conflation of people in various communities, the drag queen story time stuff.
Yeah.
And what have you. And I don't care to get into too much of that because it's mostly just the same shit over
calling,
and over again.
Calling trans people pedophiles and the
That variety. And yep. I don't really care about that too much. I just want to point this out as like a really interesting example of how sloppy his fucking work is.
And this is the big religion of the elite. I mean, they're really into this. You see them pushing on your kids everywhere. A man got arrested dressed up in a wig here in Austin a few days ago. Just an event of children and adults that did not want five-year-olds to be taught how to have anal sex and to have it taught to them by men in drag. That's pretty normal, right? You don't have people talking to your kids about anal sex at the park or the school or anywhere. He had to get arrested because he didn't want them to have their speech. So in California, if I call him a him, I get arrested. I thought I had free speech here, but this is a very, very dangerous point we're to.
So that arrest that Alex is talking about, it appears to have nothing to do with what he's pretending it does. This was a case of a person who was wearing a wig, breaking into laundry rooms, and stealing women's underwear. This, as best as I can tell, has nothing to do with trans issues. It has nothing to do with children. It's just someone using a disguise to steal underwear from laundry rooms.
Was he reading the underwear a story?
No.
Okay.
It's an invasion of these people's privacy and security, and it makes sense that they arrested the thief, but trying to make this a part of some sort of an anti-trans narrative seems a bit pathetic to me. Like, the guy who was setting off bombs all over Austin a while back, he wore a wig when he went to the FedEx store to mail off one of his explosives. Criminals often employ disguises to avoid detection, and that seems to be what this case is. Now, I don't know, because the stories I read, I don't know anything about this guy particularly.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with the larger narratives that Alex constantly yells about, from what I can tell. It has nothing to do with drag queen story time, which he's trying to conflate in here.
Right.
It's just a creep who's breaking into laundry rooms.
No, I mean, he has a problem with trans people because there were these bank robbers a bunch of surfer guys really, really fucking out on the edge there, and they wore masks whenever they robbed
Point
banks.
Break?
Yeah, we're talking Point Break.
Okay.
All right.
This guy was arrested with 57 pairs of underwear in his car.
Now, that's a Johnny Utah level amount of underwear there.
Yeah. Also, you can't get arrested in California for using the wrong pronoun for someone. The bill that was passed there that they're all lying about has to do with doctors and care providers not being allowed to willfully use discriminatory language or behaviors with their patients in assisted living facilities. Alex could absolutely misgender someone all he wants and have no consequences under the law unless that person were an elderly resident in a care center he was running. This is all just the classic right-wing bullshit. It's all just strawman nonsense.
Man, you're going that hard just to be a dick to old people. That's all you really want here, man.
Yep. Ugh. So Alex has spent a large part of the beginning of this show really being pretty white identity heavy.
Yeah.
And really screaming about Michelle Obama, talking about how she's a man.
Right.
Going real hard on this. You don't say anything about black people doing shit. Which,
even though she does.
That stuff. But I felt like there was an intensity to it that didn't feel that normal. You know, it felt like he had the spirit in him a little bit.
Something else is going on.
And that was explained pretty easily in this next clip.
I don't want to say I've gone off the rails here today just because there's several international TV crews here today.
Okay.
One from the United States, one from the dreaded Russians are here. That's right. So we've got National Russian Television here as well. I never got to this Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to do it today at 6 after next hour. Very serious news on George Soros, and where he said that he can bend the will of God and that globalists are going to crush America. Wait till I actually read these quotes to you. Oh, but he's a defender of free speech, and Trump and Alex Jones are hurting our free speech. Total inversion of reality.
So he's back on his bullshit.
Sure.
The Soros.
Soros. Stuff. Coming back hard.
And I know that anybody could make some sort of, Russian TV is here. But it's more important just that there's TV there.
Yeah, yeah. Why is
he's
there TV there?
He's performing a little bit.
Why
I don't
is
know.
TV there?
Someone wants to do a story about how he's crazy, probably.
Oh, yeah, fair.
If I had to bet. I don't know. I haven't seen the... And who knows what he even means by that.
Yeah.
Could be some independent YouTube channel has come with a camera and he's
pretending
it's international news.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever the case is, he's a little bit more juiced up than normal because he's performing for an audience. So you see that that screaming about Michelle Obama is much more impassioned than he might normally be, although he still would be worked up about those issues.
Yeah.
But he talks a lot about Epstein, and it's sort of my position that I don't really care about his position on Epstein.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
It's
no
interest. It's not interesting to me. Whatever he's bringing up is bullshit, and I don't want to get into it.
Nope.
But he talks about, I'm including this clip that's sort of tertiarily involved in it, just because he makes an accusation that I think might be legally actionable.
Okay.
And you got the Renfields, like Epstein, who bring the children to Dracula. But who's Dracula? Well, the Duke and all
John
the rich
Wayne?
People. Ted Turner. Oh, who else likes little girls? There's a certain famous black woman who's the only black person allowed to attend these meetings. And does she like her little girls? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What?
He's talking about Oprah.
He's talking about Oprah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's very clear.
Okay.
Without naming her, he has just accused Oprah of being a pedophile.
Yeah, that does sound like that's what he was trying to say.
Yep. That's 100% what he's saying. I just think, like, eventually he's got to learn a lesson about what you can and can't say.
I don't know.
About people.
Like, I don't know.
It's pretty wild. I think this is deeply irresponsible.
He's like a dog. You have to have, your negative feedback has to come immediately after the action, you know? Because he's being punished too long after the fact. He doesn't understand. He doesn't put the two together as being like, oh, saying this. Like, if he just got whipped right after he said that, he'd be like, okay, I think that's the line now.
Yeah, there's no kind of behavioral modification possibility, even with him getting some consequences now. He's he's gone too far along with just everyone being like, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. I mean, that's why we're where we are, more or less.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
So he starts doing this, and he's talking about the Dracula and all this shit, and he starts becoming preoccupied with the globalists working for Satan, literal Satan.
Yes, of course.
And so he devolves into a bit of a what I would describe as a wrestling promo about Satan.
There's one way for the globalists to get out of this, and that's to get on their knees to Jesus Christ. But because you're already slaves to the devil, your father, you can't do it.
So there's no way out.
But it's still important for you to be told the truth.
Why?
Because your boss has to get permission.
Oh,
the devil.
To even blink his eye. And your boss is not in charge of anything, and neither are you. And so you may have a bunch of slaves bowing down to you all day long, but you don't run anything in this universe. You don't even run this planet. You have just been given a little bit of power to test the faithful. And you know that.
Can you imagine being a film crew in there and trying not to laugh while he's doing this shit?
I mean, I can. I'm just looking off into the middle distance, wondering when it's going to end.
Yeah,
that's my face. If
how
I'm
long
a,
is this show?
Yeah, exactly.
Why is this show as long as it is?
Who is what? Yeah. Who is listening to this?
Well, it's people who Alex is convinced to be totally scared of people who are unlike themselves. In this next clip, Alex, like, I have no other way of describing this than just like Alex freaking out about trying to scare his audience into thinking people are coming for their kids.
Oh, okay.
Why would they have big fat men assaulting Christians in downtown Austin who go out and have a demonstration with families? Because those very men are going to go teach five-year-olds how to have sex with them. That's official Austin curriculum, teach five-year-olds they're a different gender and how to have anal sex. So parents come out and finally demonstrate and say no, and then men come screaming, going, you're killing me, and start throwing themselves at the families. You go, why? Because that's their food. And you're keeping them from the food they need. It's all they see is your children.
All right.
And they're like, help me! I need your children! Ah, I'm going to grow them! Give them to me! Because they're coming! They're from hell! Another dimension! It's open!
What the fuck?
That was a great music choice. That really swelled there at the end. Got me.
I was listening to this and I'm like, I'm really scared of the idea of someone taking this seriously. And then on the other hand, I was just like, this show is so fucking stupid.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. What kind of, you would have to be way too far gone if you were to hear him say that it's the official curriculum to teach five-year-olds about anal sex.
Some people do
and be
believe
like,
that.
That's true.
I think some people do believe that.
I know, but they're gone. Get them out of here.
Or they believe in some sort of a metaphorical way.
Yeah,
They're just against any kind of sex education.
Right.
And then they're like, yeah, this is spiritually true. They are coming for our kids. But
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Jesus, just listening to him be that performatively fake angry.
They're coming.
There's a.
The gates of hell are open.
Yeah.
Jesus. there's a film crew here, sir. But comport yourself with decorum.
It's probably wise.
Oh, it's absolutely why. No. I understand
camming
completely.
It up for the camera.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex has also found a clip of Rashida Tlaib, and he takes some issues with her, which, what a shock.
Yeah.
I want to roll in the next one of Tlaib telling kids, how many of you have trouble breathing? Oh, a third of you. Oh, you're all dying. I'm trying to help you breathe. The U.S. has super clean air compared to China and places. If we move all our industry there, it's even dirtier. It goes up in the stratosphere and comes back and dumps onto the U.S., where the jet stream just so happens to dump over the Midwest and Texas. That's the truth. But you can't breathe, can you, children? Hi, I'm your Palestinian jihadi here.
Uh-oh.
Telling you how much we're going to impeach the MF-er, preying on children. She goes into that.
Uh-oh. Palestinian jihadi. Cool,
all right.
Alex.
Cool.
So Rashida Tlaib helped organize a campaign called We Have the Right to Breathe in response to a billionaire in her district flaunting, flouting environmental protection laws and refusing to cease operating semi-trucks in residential areas, which is massively polluting to those neighborhoods. According to her official page on the House of Representatives website, quote, when large piles of black dust started showing up on the Detroit riverfront and blowing into homes and parks, and the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality told residents everything was fine, Rashida collected samples and got the substance tested herself. So she found that this was a carcinogenic petroleum coke, and she started this organizing campaign to address the problem. In the political climate we're living in, there's a real danger that environmental regulations will be rolled back or just not enforced. And when that ball starts rolling, people get hurt. We've had relatively clean air and water because years ago, we put regulations in place that big business polluters had to follow. Alex is a hack and a liar, so there's no real need to explain why he's doing what he's doing. But I have a sense that rank-and-file everyday people who could be persuaded of these kinds of anti-environmental regulation arguments, they just don't realize the situation we'd be living in if those regulations weren't there or weren't enforced. I suspect that they just take for granted the relatively good environment that we enjoy. So all of this came up recently with Rashida because there's a Chrysler plant being built in Detroit, and she's been vocal about the company taking their responsibilities to the neighboring communities seriously. Chrysler is getting massive tax benefits to build the plant, and as such, they have a very real responsibility to not fuck up the lives of the people in the surrounding area, and that's all she's talking about. It's a relevant concern, too. The Detroit Free Press spoke to a couple that lives down the street from where the plant is being put up, and they talked about how their house was shaking from the construction and said they, quote, can't keep dust out of the house. It's awful. Also, it would be wrong to bring up this topic without addressing studies that have shown clearly that air quality is not a consistent thing in this country, and that there are demonstrable patterns. According to research presented by researchers from the Ohio State University at the 2019 meeting of the American Sociological Society, quote, we're seeing that these pollution hotspots are the same year after year, and every time they're in low-income communities, often communities of color. This has implications for a wide array of health disparities from preterm births and infant mortality to developmental delays in childhood to heart and lung disease later in life. There is a cultural gap here, and low-income areas are hit incredibly hard by polluting companies. And the research tends to show that this disproportionately is true of low-income, predominantly black neighborhoods. Quote, we found that for every 1% increase in low-income African-Americans living in an area, the odds that an area would become a hotspot grew significantly. This was also true, but to a lesser extent, for increases in low-income white populations. So, yeah, Alex can keep rambling on about China's air if he wants, but that does nothing to address the situation that tons of Americans are living in, where their health and right to clean air in an unpolluted environment are being neglected for the sake of protecting corporate profit margins. People like Rashida are trying at least to address these problems head on in a way that serves the people's interests. But I guess to Alex, that's just what Palestinian jihadis do.
The idea that, well, see, we're better than China. It's not an argument.
It's irrelevant.
One child less died of fucking poison in their lungs.
Yeah.
Great. We're better than China.
Yeah.
If
you have a relative thing and that like makes you feel good, but the thing you're comparing yourself to is something terrible, then it's almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Keep playing that fucking dumb game if you want.
It's just a fucked up thing to do. It's such bullshit. Because that means that it's fine for us to slide back closer to China
because we're still
a little bit better than China.
Totally.
So shut the fuck up. Why are you complaining?
Yeah,
all the people who don't look like me who can't breathe.
Better than the worst or a worst case scenario is not good.
Yeah.
Don't compare yourself to a terrible example of something like air quality in China.
Right.
If you want to consider yourself trying.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Our oil spill wasn't as bad as the Exxon Valdez, so we're doing great.
So we basically contained the oil.
We are heroes, actually.
Yeah, it's silly. So anyway, he accuses her, Rashida, of terrorizing children.
Now here's Rashida Tlaib literally terrorizing children.
I go into these classrooms and, you know, the second and third grade classrooms to read, Grace for President. And at the end, I try to explain what my job is. And before I begin, I just ask, how many of you all have asthma? I have a hard time breathing, and a third of the class will raise their hand. And I tell them, my job is to protect your air so that you can breathe. And the kids are like, eyes wide open. I said, sometimes it's really hard, right?
Hey, pause. It's really hard to breathe in, and they start having anxiety attacks.
What?
Surprised she didn't give them a bunch of no-dos, so they'd freak out. Maybe some LSD. This woman looks like Brian Stelter. Like, these people don't know how disingenuous and snake-like they are. They're tone deaf. Here, let's go back to her while she's smiling like a vampire.
Great. Another powerful woman of color being targeted.
Compared to a man.
And a snake.
And a snake. Don't you have to know how, in order to be a snake-like person,
right?
Wouldn't you then have to have knowledge of your snaky qualities?
Well, I mean, like, it's tough to not see your forked tongue.
Yeah, right?
Look, I mean, it's just a clear pattern that you see. Like, it's just a clear pattern in how Alex interacts with other figures.
Now I'm just rereading Metamorphosis in my head, where the guy just wakes up and he just goes to work like in the normal day, and everybody's fine with it. Everybody's like, oh, shit, you're a bug now?
Jordan,
whatever.
I thought it was Metamorphosis, but with a snake.
Metamorphosis Snake?
Yeah.
That's the sequel?
I was trying to find that pun. So, anyway, it keeps getting worse, and Alex keeps attacking Rashida.
These second and third graders, sometimes I wish they could be in this room and make these decisions, because they're, you know, they know what's right, and they know they don't have any kind of political strategy behind it. They just know it's just the right thing to do. And I want
to. No, that's right. Like the thousands of kids that you support get strapped on by their mothers at age five with dynamite and hand grenades. Exactly. You love how you can brainwash children, you stinking witch. My God, these people are filth.
Wow.
Is that legally actionable?
I don't know, but I mean, like, it's just gross.
That's
you support
crazy.
Child suicide bombers,
yeah,
because of just the fact that you're a Palestinian.
Yeah. And
wow.
Well, don't forget, she also wants you to be able to breathe.
Sure.
So that is what is more like ISIS than,
like, legitimately all
clean air.
All Alex is responding to is the possibility of greater regulation for businesses.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
this is the way he responds.
That's it.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
And it underlies his really bigoted positions. I mean, you're seeing this very consistently throughout this episode. It's really, really fucked up.
It really is amazing how complete the propaganda wall really is whenever you can convince people to vote against their own ability to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm, there are people that are like, no, we can't regulate those companies bring jobs. We can't regulate them. That'll lead to more regulations. Like, okay, then choke to death. I don't know what to do for you.
A bunch of kids have asthma, and we know ways that we can help this issue.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's going to cut into corporate profits. So,
oh, well.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Well, at least we're better than China.
Yeah.
So there we go.
So we've seen attacks on Michelle that were very white identity leaning.
Yeah.
We've seen attacks on Rashida, which have also seemed to center around him taking issue with her ethnicity.
You know, a lot of white guys don't like it when black women have power.
No.
Did you know that was a trigger for a lot of white dudes?
It was.
Like a crazy number.
And so now we get into what he's promised he's going to go over, and that is some Soros shit. But as he's trying to do this, we see the pesky head of tech problems.
Research. Oh, hey.
George Soros, ladies and gentlemen, is a real piece of work.
I actually like this show way better.
I want to be clear. We are going to hear this sort of tech glitch. This is not your phone fucking up your, or anything. This is from Alex's raw audio.
I like this show now.
Big pause.
Finding where Jews were hidden, Madeleine Albright's father did, and then stealing their goods. Madeleine Albright, by the way, has been caught with stolen loot from the Holocaust. That's mainstream news. Just look it up. She had people in her house for 60 minutes, and people saw the stolen art. Well, yeah, her father stole it from Jews he was supposed to save, and then he sold them out to the Nazis.
So the situation with Madeleine Albright is a little different than what Alex is presenting. He has a lie about George Soros that he always tells about him working with the Nazis.
Yep, yep.
So in order to reinforce that, he's taken a true story about Madeleine Albright and fudged the details to make it match his false version of the Soros story. Madeleine Albright was accused by a man named Philip Harmer of being in possession of things that were stolen from his family's apartment after World War II. This was apparently done by Madeleine Albright's father, Joseph Korbel, who was a diplomat at the time in the Czech Foreign Ministry. They'd ended up in that country after finding refuge in London during World War II. I say refuge because many of Albright's family members were killed in the Holocaust. Though she is a Christian, she had many Jewish relatives, and thus her family was at risk during the war if they didn't get out. So they went to London, then after the ending of hostilities, they ended up in Prague. Philip Harmer was not a Jewish man who had his things stolen in the Holocaust. His family was German, and in the post-war years, over 3 million Germans had been expelled from the country that they were in, then Czechoslovakia. To be clear, I don't know if Philip Harmer himself is Jewish, and I'm not saying he's not or is. I have no idea.
Yeah.
My larger point is that his family left Prague not because of the Holocaust, but because of anti-German sentiment in the post-war years. After that point, it's said that Albright's father stole a bunch of their stuff. If this is the case, then that's shitty, and they should have their stuff returned to them. I don't know the ins and outs of this case, but it's nothing like what Alex is presenting. Even Harmer said of the confiscation of his family's items, quote, "It was understandable, considering what the Nazis did to his family, but it was not necessarily right."
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with what Alex is presenting it as. He's only using this story in order to reinforce his complete lie about George Soros and like rounding up Jews during the Holocaust under the guise of coming to confiscate stuff or whatever.
That's just such a funny clip for the way to get into and so the Jews were all there. Whoa, I missed a lot.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's almost like you just want it to keep glitching so you don't say it's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just such a weird non sequitur. Like, it might as well have just been like, rectum, damn near killed. Like, what are you doing?
So in this next clip, Alex denies George Soros' identity as a Holocaust survivor.
George Soros is really mad at me that I cover this and I talk about it. And he puts out the PR and the disinformation that he's a Holocaust survivor. Well, I guess that's kind of like saying Hitler is a Holocaust survivor. And I guess he was someone that was around during the Holocaust and he survived. I mean, I guess technically it's true. Hitler is a Holocaust
survivor. What did you just say?
I think it's a sickening play on words, a manipulation, a legalese issue.
So we know that Alex believes that Hitler didn't kill himself in the bunker. So that's
did Hitler survive the? We're in Boys from Brazil territory, huh?
It's an interesting position for him to have, and I don't really want to get into it as much as I would say, let's stipulate that Hitler did escape.
Right.
Now, Alex is saying that similarly, George Soros' experience is similar to Hitler's experience in the war. And I would say that what you are doing is Holocaust revision. You're engaging in minimizing Hitler's behavior turning whatever Soros did into the level of the person, the Führer.
Right.
And either of those things is trivializing the Holocaust, and I find it to be offensive.
Yeah.
Offensive.
I think he's really... He shot the moon. If this was a game of hearts, he got all the tricks.
He batted for the cycle.
He got it all, man.
Yep. We've got the white identity. Whites are responsible for the civilization and ending slavery.
Right.
You ended dumb
slavery.
Black woman who I hate so much.
Yeah.
Rashida Tlaib is a Palestinian jihadi who's trying to terrorize children with breathing issues.
Right.
And now we've got Soros Holocaust revisionism.
Look, the whites ended the Holocaust too. See, you guys don't talk about that.
I think you can maybe understand why this is an episode that it should be covered.
Jesus.
But also, I really just want to gloat about Alex's horrible sound quality issues. And far be it from me, we've had some sound issues too lately.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to begrudge Alex, but hey, we record in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And he is a millionaire.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a difference there.
And also,
slight change in quality.
And also, if my shit sounded like this, I would never put it out.
No feelings for any of it. They're tricking people to let you into their hiding place, claiming you're running from Nazis. That's what he would do. He was 14 and small for 14, so they were saving a kid. He would come in and then remember it all, then run out at night and bring the Nazis. They called them bloodhounds.
Alex is completely making that up.
Yeah.
Alex is 100%. He has no evidence of this. He has nothing that Soros has said. He has no proof that Soros, as a youth, went and found Jews hiding places and then brought the Nazis back. This is one of the worst kind of slanders you can accuse someone of.
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't even mean this just because, like, hey, I love Soros or something. That's not my angle on this at all. This is repugnant behavior.
Yep.
And it absolutely trivializes the Holocaust. When you use something like this as a political cudgel against one of your enemies, what you're doing is...
making it okay to commit a Holocaust.
somewhat. But look, man, Alex's family, he shouldn't have to worry about this sort of shit. Because his family fought Hitler, all right?
But see, my family fought Hitler. And now that man has the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center say, I'm a Nazi. That is obscene, ladies and gentlemen. I almost don't exist in time and space because of Hitler. And then a monster that served him and rounded up Jews, funds, lawsuits, and attacks on me and my family and lies. And I'm just, if there's justice in this universe, my God, can't we do something about George Soros and his son, Alexander, that openly funds Antifa and the documents are public?
Those documents are fake. And what you're doing there is calling for someone to hurt George Soros and his son. You can't interpret it any other way. On Alex's show, like, you hear something like that, and, like, should something happen to either of them, and, like, the person who did it is a listener of Alex's show, that is a clear-cut example of stochastic terrorism.
Yeah.
Like, he is just being like, oh, if there's any justice in the universe, in God's will, can someone take care of them? Meanwhile, on a show, like, within the last month, Alex has said, hey, vengeance is God's, but sometimes you got to be God's instrument.
You gotta.
God calls you to do things.
Somehow that makes sense in both directions.
Within the canon of Alex's work, you have all the pieces necessary to think God is calling you to kill George Soros.
Because Alex is not saying we got to do something like we need to institute a wealth tax. He's not trying to solve that problem. He's not trying to solve any of the... Even if Soros did do the thing, he's not saying let's send him to the fucking Hague to stand trial. He's not doing any of that shit.
Dead.
He wants them to kill him.
Yep. That's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
Yep. This is unacceptable on so many levels. So now Alex has a guest.
Sure. A lawyer?
No.
Ooh, that's nice.
No, for once, it's not one of his lawyers.
Oh.
But he has a guest who's run afoul of Turning Point USA. And so, Alex wants to have a little conversation about it. And here's a little bit of an introduction.
We're going to go to break, come back with our guest, who is being censored and targeted by the Republicans. Some of them. And again, I think this group's doing a lot of good, Turning Point USA. But what happened to Candace Owens being driven out? You know, what's going on with all this? Why are their best people being shuttered?
So Alex has a guest coming up who's on the outs with Turning Point USA.
Sure.
And in this tease for the interview, he mentions that Turning Point is a good organization as a whole, but he doesn't like they got rid of Candace Owens. Now, it seems worth mentioning that Alex just got done with a 20-minute segment of Holocaust revisionism and lying about Soros rounding up Jews during the Holocaust. So it seems like when you then transition into an interview by saying it was wrong for Turning Point to part ways with Candace, it's probably relevant to know why they did that. It's like what you said recently. You are not more important than the grift. Every functionary in these operations is useful until they're not. Even when you make quite a name for yourself and you go mainstream in some sense, you can reach a point where you're just too fucking dumb or too toxic a property to continue being associated with. That happened for Candace Owens in December 2018 when she said at a Turning Point event, quote, I actually don't have any problems with the word nationalism. I think the definition gets poisoned by elitists that actually want globalism. Globalism is what I don't want. Whenever we say nationalism, the first thing people think about, at least in America, is Hitler. You know, he was a national socialist. But if Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. The problem is he had dreams outside of Germany. He wanted to globalize. He wanted everyone to be German, everybody to speak German, everybody to look a different way. That's not nationalism. Leaving aside how this comment definitely seems to imply that an internally operating genocide would be totally cool with her, Saying something like this publicly is just fucking embarrassing. It demonstrates a very shallow understanding of what happened in World War II and what Hitler was up to. When someone says something like this, you consider what other completely idiotic and profoundly offensive things they might accidentally say in the future, and if you're smart, you decide, eh, I'm going to cut ties with her.
Yeah, yeah. It's important to note, this has nothing to do with the substance of what you believe. Turning Point USA, totally fine with that.
Probably, but the opposite of this are impossible.
Exactly.
And it raises...
She's fired for being a bad grifter. And you don't say it out loud.
And it raises the question of what else might we have to do damage control
exactly.
about in the future.
She's a bad grifter.
Yes.
Get her out of here.
Yes. The most generous reading of her comment is that she knows nothing about the subject she's talking about. And the least generous is that she's a Holocaust denier. Both of these are bad for the brand.
Or I would say the least generous is she's a Holocaust supporter.
Maybe.
Within certain borders, I guess.
Yeah. Both of these are bad for the brand, and Turning Point USA is all about that grift. I think this is important to recognize, however, because Alex is saying that they were wrong to cut ties with her, and one of the motivating factors was clearly this comment that could easily be interpreted as being minimizing of the Holocaust. That's really fucked up to hear after Alex has just rewritten elements of the Holocaust to serve his purposes. That's also really fucked up to hear considering that Owen Schroyer had the hosts of Red Ice Radio as guests on his show this week.
Wait, he did what?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So they're going full-throated.
And it'll be even more fucked up.
They're just dropping the hoods on.
When we get to who the guest he's introducing is.
Oh, no.
Well, Nick Fuentes is here with us today, and I really appreciate him. Coming on, NicholasJFuentes.com, and I'm very familiar with his work. We're very excited to have him. We should have him as a guest more often.
Oh, really? You're really familiar with his work? That's going to be a problem here in a minute.
Who's this guy?
So we briefly mentioned Nick Fuentes in a recent episode in relation to him working with that network that also employed Joey Salads, the racist hoax video guy who peed in his own mouth.
Yeah.
I'd kind of hope that that would be the only time this dude came up on our show, but apparently I don't get what I want sometimes. Nick Fuentes is a pile of shit, but he's also clearly a troll. So talking about him gets into murky territory where you can really never know how much of what he's saying is sincere and how much is just intentionally provocative to try and get people angry for attention.
Doesn't matter. Fuck that guy.
He has a show called America First that is great. Just really terrible green screen background sloppy yeah. bullshit. It's terrible. But I've listened to enough of his work to know that there are definitely some things that he's very serious about, and they're all bad things. For one, he believes that the United States is a country specifically for white people. He'll generally resist the title of white supremacist or any of that stuff, and he pretends that he's just wanting to uphold the intent of the founders of the country who wanted the country to be a place specifically for whites.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Fuentes?
Right. It's an issue.
Okay.
I don't care, though.
Okay.
I understand where you're coming
from.
Don't care.
It's just there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's there. I needed everybody to know it's there, and then we can move on.
That is an interesting consideration whenever you have these sort of escalating exclusiveness positions. It's
yeah.
like, do you not think that you eventually won't pass the test
yeah.
that you are advocating in that direction?
It is one of those things where it's like the further on the edge of the in-group you are, seems like the more aware you should be that the in-group is going to slough off those. They're going to shed their skin whenever there's,
Yeah, and it does not go the other direction. So the other thing that's very consistent in Nick Fuentes' work is a strain of hatred towards Jews and Holocaust revisionism. In this clip, we'll hear Nick on his show America First complaining about Matt Walsh decrying white nationalism after the shooting in El Paso from a little ways back. And please be advised, listeners, he is going to use some language that is very uncommon on our show.
Kid2000 says it's very refreshing to see some people stay consistent and not take a self-defeating defensive position. Much appreciated. Keep it up. Well, thanks. Yeah, we just can't do that. We can't play this game of, I disavow white supremacy. And notice how the claws come out. All these pussies, frankly. And again, sorry for the language, but that's what it is. People like,
this is a family show.
Matt Walsh guy. Total faggot pussy. And, he's always like this. And when a white person does a shooting, suddenly he's a big tough guy. Oh, I think these white racist scumbags should get public executions and we should hang them and be brutal. That's the only thing that's going to stop these people. Ah. Yeah, you're a real tough guy. You're a real fucking tough guy. You know, sorry for the language. Disavow the language. But, that's what it is, these people. It's a very latent hatred for their own people, for white people, if it's not their own people. You know? Matt Walsh, Shabbos Goy, race traitor. That's what it is, folks. I know some people don't like to use that expression, but it's totally true. Throwing his own people under the bus. He hates white people. Nobody else talks like that about their own people except for white people, and it's gross. This white racist scumbag should get he should be hanged in public, and we should be brutal about it. Yeah, okay. Keep typing on Twitter.com, faggot. Faggot pussy. Race traitor. You work for Jews, you know?
So that's the kind of thing that he espouses. And it's a good thing Alex is familiar with his work, and he's a big fan. Yeah. So if you take that for what it is, you have a guy who's offended at someone not supporting white nationalism, and his response is to call him a race traitor, and then talk about how he works for Jews.
Yeah.
Interesting. As for Holocaust revisionism, Nick engages in a crypto form of denialism that's pretty popular in neo-Nazi circles. What they do is they talk about the killings in the Holocaust using the language of baking cookies. I know it sounds weird, but you'll see what I mean in this clip.
Max says, if I take 1 hour to cook a batch of cookies and Cookie Monster has 15 ovens working 24 hours a day every day for 5 years, how long does it take Cookie Monster to make 6 million batches of cookies? I don't know. That's a good question. Certainly, Oh, no. It doesn't really sound correct to me. Wait a second. It takes 1 hour to cook a batch of cookies, and you have 15 ovens, probably in four different kitchens, right? Doing 24 hours a day every day for 5 years. How long would it take you to make 6 million? I don't know. It certainly wouldn't be 5 years, right? The math doesn't seem to add up there. So 6 million cookies, I don't buy it.
I don't even care to engage with this sort of shit, but I wanted to play that for you so you could understand that this is a guy who uses his platform to partake in explicit Holocaust revision and denial. Nick is very young and doesn't know very much, but he has a good handle on really far-right talking points and is able to rattle them off pretty quickly, you know, enough to trick idiots into thinking he knows what he's talking about. Consider him to be like an anti-Jewish Ben Shapiro, a person Nick coincidentally hates, which probably has nothing to do with Shapiro's very public Judaism.
I don't know why he would hate him.
What makes this absolutely unacceptable is that Alex says he knows Nick's work and that he likes his work. If he had no idea who Nick was and had him on, then that's a huge fuck-up and a sign that he needs a better vetting process. But knowing who he is and giving him a friendly platform is a tacit support for his ideas and what he stands for, namely Holocaust denial and white nationalism. So congratulations, Alex. You're almost at your true form.
Jesus.
Yep. When I heard that he was on, I was like, well, this is progressing. And the Red Ice being on Owen's show.
Yeah, it's
like it's just
they're done, right? They're there.
This is exactly the transformation that, you know, you expect. Yeah. It's basically what I was sort of predicting once the deplatforming came. And it maybe took a little bit longer than you know, you would expect. Like you kind of think that maybe he'd jump right in, but he probably had more cash before.
Yeah, he tried it's almost admirable how long he tried before he just decided to become a white nationalist broadcast.
Yeah, fuck it. And he'll you know, probably try and pretend, but all these people fucking pretend. And
Jesus.
Yeah, this is how you discuss neo-Nazi Holocaust revision in a winking way. Mm. Isn't it funny? I'm talking about cookies. Can't get mad at me talking about cookies.
Hey, you know what's easy? The Holocaust was bad, no matter the numbers. You don't have to work that hard.
Well, you do if you want to have a different
conclusion.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. If you want to come with it's okay with it, then you really got to work hard, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Alex is going to talk to Nick Fuentes, which is great. And so what the big reason that Alex is having him on, or so he thinks, is that Nick got into a little bit of a beef with Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk.
Sure.
I don't care about their petty drama.
Nope.
But it's interesting because they're having this fight. Alex is looking at things a little differently.
Interesting.
And so I've seen a lot of other things. And I know folks that have been to some of the Turning Point USA national events, and they say it's a little leftist. And look, I know we want to have a big tent.
Really?
We have a big tent so long, we'll compromise, and then the left continues to take over.
So Turning Point USA is not a little leftist. They're entirely funded by right-wing billionaire cash infusions and are absolutely 100% the tool of the right trying to look cool on college campuses. So why is Alex hearing that they're a little leftist? Oh, I don't know. Possibly because he's now exclusively hanging out with crypto fascists and neo-Nazis.
Yeah, they're a little bit leftist. They still say the Holocaust is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is really what they're saying.
They still think homosexuality is okay.
That really is what they're saying.
Legal immigration is appropriate. Yeah.
They're leftists.
They don't believe that this country is a white country.
In our midst.
Yeah. If you have someone telling you that Turning Point USA is a little leftist, that means that you're talking to someone who is extremely on the far right. They appear to be a little leftist to them because their standard of where something falls on the political spectrum is completely fucked up. Considering Alex's network has had Red Ice and Nick Fuentes on in the same week tells me all I need to know. He's dropped any pretense, and this network is on its way towards becoming something very extreme.
Yeah.
Where Turning Point USA is possibly on the left. It's a terrifying development, but I'd be lying if I said I was surprised.
Look at these leftists over here saying that Jews should be allowed to live. Come on, bunch of libs.
Yep.
Libs!
So... Alex believes that this is going to be a thing where they talk about Turning Point USA being a little left. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And he plays a clip that I have to assume that Nick sent him. Okay. And it's this guy asking a question at one of Turning Point's recent events.
Yeah.
And then interspersed with Charlie Kirk saying something that directly contradicts it. And then at the end, there is a clip of Charlie Kirk saying that Israel is special.
Okay, there we go.
And
on the left, indeed.
Alex, I think, is a little bit surprised by the part at the end being about, like, just overtly not connected at all to the part prior to it, and just being about him saying that Israel is a holy land. This is not good. This falls apart very quickly, as Alex should have known it would if you knew anything about Nick Fuentes.
And we just added that clip in there to talk about after the break. But there you go. I flew on an airplane with this guy after the RNC 2016. Seemed like,
to be clear, he's talking about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. Like a nice guy. And, you know, I like the idea. I like the fact that they have contact with Trump. And I like what the members are doing. They're great people. But, yeah, I know there's a lot of other videos online, too, of him really telling whoppers of lies, or he has amnesia, brain damage, and doesn't have any type of long-term memory. I mean, maybe he's got a head injury. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's possible. Certainly he could be mentally retarded, as you like to say, or he could just be straight up lying. You know, we've seen a lot of cases of this where people get involved in conservative politics and maybe say one thing, and then they get donors, and then they get people funding their organization. They get some connections. They rub shoulders with powerful people like the president or his son in the case of Charlie Kirk. And then all of a sudden their opinions start to change. And then suddenly, you know, their love for America becomes a love for another country. So, yeah, I mean, he could have been brain damaged, maybe dropped on his head or something, or he could just be straight up lying, in which case we have to hold him accountable. And that's what we're trying to do.
I'd like to point out that at the beginning of this episode, Alex talked about getting hit in the head with a lead pipe and an axe handle, and now they're talking about Charlie Kirk having brain damage. Great. Real fun.
Yep.
That is exactly what you'd expect if you bring Nick Fuentes on your show. He's going to suggest that he doesn't love America, he loves Israel.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
So, Alex, I don't know if he recognizes by this point that this is where the interview is going to be driven.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want any part of that. Yeah. He should know that. This is what happens.
It's a good thing that that whole, like, dual citizenship, right to return kind of stuff is staying well within this far right fringe culture, you know. I'm glad that you never see people on national TV saying that somebody could be disloyal to the United States because they also have...
Yeah, but I don't even know if Charlie Kirk is Jewish. I think this is even just like
he's just
agent of Israel.
Gotcha. Sure, fine. Let's throw it all in there.
So, in order to make it not like an interview that's going to be ended immediately, Nick gets into some of his other positions that Alex might be more interested in. So he expresses his position on immigration.
Here we go. I bet it's very liberal.
No.
Leftist. Turning Point USA style leftism.
No.
On my show, we oppose not just mass illegal immigration, but mass legal immigration as well. You know, we know that the demographic change that's taking place is really not so much a problem of legal status, but more a question of where these people come from, what they believe, and so on.
It nicks into the white genocide meme.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
He's against legal immigration of non-white folk to the United States.
It does sound like that's what his stated position is.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it seems like that one's he's wearing it on his sleeve, Dan.
So Alex, I mean you're helping this sort of rhetoric.
Let's get that stuff out there. Yeah. Let's get the world needs more of that in the you know what? Let's not worry about the coke on our shores, Dan. Let's worry about fucking keeping immigrants out of here. Great.
Yep. So here we go. Here's some more shit that Alex just has to allow on his show now.
So he's not a patriot on legal immigration. We think he's anti-Christian because he peddles and promotes degeneracy. He's taking pictures with Lady MAGA, some kind of Make America Great Again themed drag queen, supporting homosexuals in his organization. And then lastly, he's not a patriot in terms of his own country. I think a lot of people suspect, rightly so, that he has a dual allegiance or a dual loyalty to Israel.
Okay.
All right. Wow.
So, I mean, associating with homosexuals in any way is anti-Christian behavior.
He supports degeneracy.
Degeneracy?
Dan. Degeneracy.
Yep. So.
Wait, where is this fucking kid from?
Chicago.
Did he come from the 1930s? What is fucking happening?
He's from that very racist part of Chicago.
Yeah, what are we talking about? And I don't support miscegenation. No, he doesn't. He doesn't support miscegenation. Of course.
No.
God damn it.
I believe that I have heard videos where he has expressed.
Well, I mean, if you're already
in a discomfort with interracial relationships.
If you're against legal immigration, I'm guessing that you're probably against any kind of denigrating the white race.
This guy is so far past like what should be allowed in like normal conversations.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That I even find it tough that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Like I don't even like the idea that he's come into our sphere by way of being on Alex's show.
Yeah.
It's just like I didn't think we would see the day where Alex had fallen apart to this point.
Having
Nick Fuentes and Red Ice on his show in the same week. I mean, it's just becoming more and more overt.
Yeah, this is a white nationalist radio show.
Yep.
There you go.
And we're cool with having uncritical interviews with people who are so beyond the pale.
I'm not just going to pretend to debate David Duke anymore. I'm going to tell him to full-throated scream it from the mountaintops.
I don't think he could do that because David Duke's too famous.
Yeah.
I think if someone...
I mean metaphorically speaking.
If someone
was
saying similar things to David Duke and wasn't David Duke, Alex would be all about it.
Oh, yeah. Get him on.
Yeah. In much the same way, Turning Point USA can't be associated with Candace Owens because of her... gaffes.
Yeah.
It's all about optics as opposed to the actual content.
Yeah.
So Alex seemed to be surprised there about Nick saying this about his Charlie Kirk having loyalties to Israel.
It is kind of refreshing that even he is like, oh no, what have I done?
If you listen to this next clip, I do think that Alex is a little bit back on his heels.
This is a country that we give support in just about every way, shape, and form. Monetary support, military support, political support.
I wanted to get you on because...
No, it's not.
I saw these videos and I saw articles about it where they're trying to keep you from coming to those while saying they're open and they're doing this and they basically didn't stand up for Candace Owens, which I don't like. And then I've seen some of the stuff. Personally, I'm a libertarian. And so I like the fact that Trump, you know, at his convention in Cleveland said, we don't hate you if you're, you know, gay or lesbian or whatever. I get your point, though, about it's already being paraded everywhere with the trannies going after the kids and, you know, all that. And so why sit there and make that the main message?
Alex, he needs to redirect.
Man.
Because he does not want to have this conversation. And I think he's also realizing, like, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Look, no. It's okay. We can get into Israel. I'm going to change the subject as quickly as I can, though. As soon as possible. Right now.
And that's not to say that Alex is like a shill for Israel or anything like
that.
No,
absolutely
not. When you've got this extreme hard right dude on the show, and he seems to be constantly bringing up Israel stuff.
Yeah.
Alex is smart enough to realize, like, I've stepped in it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to, like, artificially do... I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
This would be a good time for a glitch.
Yeah, this would be a great time for a glitch.
He needs to refocus the argument or the discussion into a place where it's more about the trivial culture issue, pop culture issues Somebody complained about something.
Yeah.
And that's all he can do.
It is kind of interesting that it does seem we're really close to him having to be like, could you please not use this word?
Right.
You know, like it's he really, for all of his free speech bullshit, we're really close to him being like,
he let his lawyer say the N-word twice.
I know.
And he didn't even push back on it.
Nope.
His response to it later in the episode was, we got to use those freedoms or else they'll go away.
God, what a fucking asshole.
So, Alex, like I said, the trivial issue kind of thing is he needs to refocus this back on the Turning Point USA.
Yeah.
Because that petty drama is really what he wants to talk about because that's where some money is. That's where some attention is.
Right.
And so Nick makes a little bit of an argument that I think is really interesting. I think it's really not universal, but it's very common in these worlds.
You know, this whole thing could have been averted. I wouldn't be on InfoWars right now. There would be no controversy if he simply allowed me to take the picture or go into the event. And I think a lot of people are now scratching their heads. He's almost exposed himself. He's made a bigger deal out of it than it is. And they're wondering, what is he so afraid of? Why does he not want to stand these questions? Why can he not defend these ideas?
So the idea is essentially that Charlie Kirk banned Nick Fuentes from... I would assume that there's probably a good reason. I bet that there had been some interaction between the two of them in the past. Mm. I know that I was able to find some indication that years ago, Nick Fuentes was invited to give a speech at a Turning Point event. Mm-hmm. So there is some interaction between him and the organization. I wouldn't be surprised if Nick had been like critiquing and saying like, you dumb Jew lover.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's entirely possible. He's clearly an antagonistic troll.
Right.
Why wouldn't he be behaving that way in the lead up to Charlie saying, don't allow that guy in?
Yeah, of course.
I see that as incredibly likely.
Yeah.
So, but what he's saying here in this clip is a classic manipulation trick. To any right-thinking observer, this is more or less a publicity stunt that Nick Fuentes is running at the expense of Charlie Kirk. And ultimately, there's no good solution for Kirk. What's being done is that Nick is putting Charlie Kirk in a situation where he has two options. The first is to take a picture with and associate with someone who is a clear bigot and troll, who is outside of what you deem to be acceptable discourse. By that association, you'll be giving this voice your tacit support, which is something you absolutely don't want to do. The second option is to choose not to associate with this entity. And based on a very reasonable assumption that they're just trying to co-opt your platform anyway, what you do is you seek to keep them out of your event. But this doesn't work either, because now you've given this bad faith entity the appearance that you can't handle their ideas or you're shutting down free speech. By protecting your space from a Holocaust-revising white nationalist, you end up giving that person precisely the fuel they need to get the publicity they were after in the first place. This is a win-win situation for Nick Fuentes, and that's exactly why he's doing this.
And it is, like, you can feel Charlie being like, I want to say, I don't want you here because you're a Holocaust-denying Nazi lunatic. But if he said that, he loses half of Turning Point USA's followers.
I think he has said I think he has said that. That's unfair. I think he has been clear about like, no, of course I don't want this fucking asshole anti-Semite troll hanging around. Yeah, I think he has been clear about that.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are limits.
I mean, well, he's on Alex's show.
Well, Nick is.
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk isn't.
Oh, no, yeah.
There's still a veneer there.
Right.
Whatever the case. Now, after this whole thing, other people in Turning Point have come out and supported Charlie Kirk in this this kerfuffle. And Nick has some comments about that.
And you know what else is so troubling is after this whole event, we see people like Benny Johnson, who works for Turning Point USA, and other people that are connected to the organization. You might have seen this on Twitter. You may not have. But people are now standing up and calling everybody who asked questions last night at his Ohio State University event, who asked about Israel, asked about his support of homosexuality, so on. You've now got people working for Turning Point USA saying that if you oppose the Charlie Kirk conservative agenda, you're a homophobe, you're a racist. I think Benny Johnson said we were the Westboro Baptist kids because we're Christians, because we support the Bible teaching that opposes homosexuality.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so listen, you have a right to do that. And I agree that none of this sexualization should be promoted to children. And there needs to be a major pendulum back the other way.
What does that look like? What does that pendulum going back the other direction look like? Why do you think that gay people being allowed to exist in civilization and it just in the public is sexualizing children?
Well, the pendulum needs to go back away from them being allowed to exist in public. They need to hide again. So I right. don't ever feel any discomfort at all for That's my way of life not being the only way of life, Dan.
It's more or less what we're getting here.
It does feel like this Fuentes kid is so much... Like, I have to see these older guys like Alex Jones and all these people looking at Nick Fuentes going just like, fuck, I made you, didn't I?
Yes.
You are what I created. And you don't know.
No, they do.
I mean, Nick. Nick knows that he was made by him. He doesn't know that all of that Holocaust denial and all of that anti-Semitism and stuff is supposed to be about the grift first. But Nick's a fucking grifter hater. Too.
He's a hater,
yeah,
but he's also
hates.
Yeah, yeah.
He hates. You know, like Alex doesn't. Sure. Alex doesn't hate with that. Like
he does at times.
He does it. He does at times.
He
true.
Does at times. I think we get caught up too much in how much. So much of this is just a performance,
right?
And forget that underneath it, there is still some.
Oh, for sure.
Freaking out about seeing Muslims at a pool supply store, for instance.
For sure.
That kind of thing is still real for him. Yeah, I mean, what I think is more the point is, like, you see this and you're like, I am partially responsible for your track that you've gone down. I cannot control this anymore.
Yeah.
And you're better than me.
Yeah.
You are cannibalizing me. Nick is a faster talker. Mm-hmm. He is much more smart sounding than Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these are people, the next generation is far more competent than the past generation. And someone like Nick could be really dangerous with the level of
exposure that Alex has,
or at least he used to have.
Yeah,
certainly I don't think Alex would ever have him on back when he was doing well.
No, I mean, if he yeah, like Nick Fuentes wouldn't have been there on the night Trump wins, not at the height of Alex's powers.
No,
never gonna happen.
And
there.
I think he also would even be too much of an issue to even have as an employee.
Yeah,
but now I don't know. I still think Alex would be able to see through it pretty quickly and realize this is.
I'm giving you a show. You won my contest.
He does not get the normal treatment, the job offer treatment.
But
I don't know. It's fucked up. So we have one last clip here, and it's Nick expressing that he watched InfoWars back in the day, which goes to your point.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he had expectations about Trump.
Oh, no, I've been in this for 2, 3, or 4 years now. I remember watching, when I was in high school, Donald Trump appear on your show, and it was probably one of the coolest things I ever saw. And I think everybody believed in 2016 that things were going to be different. You know, that with Donald Trump being an insurgent in the Republican Party, the hostile takeover, and then becoming president, I think everybody believed that it was going to be a real America First movement, that the John McCain, Mitt Romney, George Bush conservative movement, big tent conservative movement was done. And so then to see all these people that wear the MAGA hat, people that they co-opt the Donald Trump message, co-opt the Donald Trump look, the optics and everything, for them to then use the same tactics of the left. You know, they're really embracing this monoparty globalist mentality.
So he thought that Donald Trump was going to bring an end to the big tent GOP. And what he means by that is non-whites.
Yeah.
What he means by that is non-Christians.
Yep.
What he means by that is anybody who doesn't think that the United States is a white Christian country where there is should be a power monopoly in the hands of those people because of their skin and their choice of religion.
It is fun to watch.
You can't hear someone talk about trying to get rid of the big tent in the GOP who has expressed about, like, let's say, a guy who isn't into white nationalism calling him a race traitor who works for Jews.
Yes.
You can't hear Holocaust denial and revision coming out of somebody and not think, oh, getting rid of the big tent in the GOP probably means something different to you.
It's a diversity of ideas is what they're talking about, Dan.
Certainly.
It's the ideas that they're talking about. It's all about about the free market of ideas, Dan.
It's just infuriating. Like, it's not infuriating. I don't really care. No. I mean, I care on one level, but, like, this to me is so expected.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, I see this episode, this 30th, like, it's so bad. Like you have the shit with Michelle Obama at the beginning, you have the Rashida Tlaib stuff that's just repugnant. You have this long Soros diatribe where he's going further than he has in the past.
Oh, yeah.
About Soros and his behavior in the Holocaust and in World War II, revising elements of the Holocaust. Then he talks about Candace Owens shouldn't have been cut loose from Turning Point USA, and the reason that she was because of bad comments about the Holocaust and Hitler.
Because she had it coming.
Then you have a Holocaust denier on your show as a guest who you introduce as someone who you like their work and you're well aware of them.
Right.
Like, this is bad.
Right.
It's what you expect because of what Alex has been promoting throughout his career, but just not overtly.
Yeah.
You see the mask coming off a bit. This episode is the sort of thing that it's just like, well, buckle up, because a month, 2 months from now, who the fuck knows what this show is going to be like? Like, imagine.
Yeah.
So Red Ice is coming on Owen's show because they got kicked off social media because
Nazis
made a choice.
Yeah.
So if they're being put on as people who are being deplatformed and censored.
Like us.
Alex has an alternative for that. He has his own banned.video site where people who have been kicked off social media and banned, that's where it's supposed to be where those things go.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is Red Ice going to get a channel on there?
We're seeing a great merger. InfoWars Ice.
You kind of see the possibility that this network that Alex has built, InfoWars, and its tendrils, like this new band.video, it could very easily be co-opted by people who are far worse than him. Far worse, and also the same.
Yeah.
And that's a troubling possibility, but it's also, I believe, what I predicted might happen with his video endeavors.
Yeah.
That if he does allow other people on, guess who's going to be on
there? Right. Well, I mean, take a look at all the replacements. The conservative replacements to Twitter turns into Nazi racists immediately. And you're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. If the problem you're trying to solve is a problem that exclusively or almost exclusively applies to racists, Nazis, fascists, then when you create a solution, it's going to be populated almost exclusively
I don't know why it's only populated by racists, Nazis, and white supremacists. Crazy. Yep.
It's because you're solving a problem that only they have.
God, I really, you know, it's telling. The disillusionment, every generation has their disillusionment moment with the president that they help elect, you know? Like, for us with Obama, why didn't he close Guantanamo?
Drones.
Why didn't he stop torturing
whistleblowers.
People? Torturing, all of that stuff. That, I was very disillusioned. And for this guy, his disillusionment with Trump is, why can't I torture people? Why can't I drone people? Why can't I murder people?
Maybe not those specific examples, but it's like, why isn't it this white country yet?
Exactly.
Why haven't we fucking cracked down on the gays and non-whites? What is going on? That was the promise that I heard in Trump.
And you know you made it to me. Don't you? And Trump will be like, no, I didn't make it to you. There's good people on both sides. Now, you know what you fucking said.
And it's because this side has strong sixth sense.
Yeah.
They have a supernatural
power.
Get through.
They can hear what they're going to say before they say it.
Right. So I do not appreciate this show. I think it sucks. I think that Alex is veering into territory that will very quickly be so far past the point of social acceptability that I just...
I don't think any much further than this, and I'm kind of the opinion that maybe we shouldn't be... We shouldn't cover that show at all if it's...
I don't know. Our responsibility is something maybe we should discuss.
Yeah.
But, when you see this sort of thing, it's like, well, this is a bad sign for the future, but also good that you're also doing this sort of a shift in the middle of a going out of business sale.
Yeah.
Everything must go. Good luck, Alex. You dumb fuck.
I wish you the worst of luck, and I hope you fail immediately.
Anyway, we'll be back on Monday. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're on Twitter.
We are. It's at @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
You can find us on Facebook.
We are on Facebook, and if you would like to download the show, please go to iTunes and download, or go to somewhere else where you can listen to podcasts, or leave a review, or so on and so forth. Yep. We'd love it.
And
any help is appreciated.
Sure.
Yeah.
We will be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark, I am the juiciest ice cube.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.